Good morning, Triumphant Life. Just such a joy to be here with you today and to celebrate with you a couple really, really exciting things that I just heard in my ears. One, I saw with my eyes, you burned your mortgage. That's awesome. We all celebrate that individually and as a body, as a church, when you're at that point of being able to just tear that thing up, burn it, and know that God, out of that, is not done. God is going to birth some dreams, and it's pretty amazing what I just saw on the screen there, too. The favor of the Lord resting upon this body. Somebody actually coming to you and saying, hey, I've got this $600,000 piece of property in the right in a strategic part of the city. So, man, we're just here to celebrate that with you. And we say thank you, Pastor Ben, for the invite and to come and talk about missions. That's, you know, that's just like saying sick 'em. It's to a doggy, to a little doggy. And I am just so blessed to be here with you and to be able to be with your body, this church here. Thank you, Triumphant Life, for your heart for this city. Your heart for the lost, your care for people, it's just evident. Your love for the Lord as well, fun to pray with you, worship with you today. Joe and the band, great job. Just ushering in the presence of the Lord, and we all welcome him together. So, great day. Now, you guys already all know this, but God has blessed you with an awesome pastor in Pastor's Life, Pastor Ben and Mary. And we want to celebrate that today as well. And Pastor Andrew, is he with the kids again this service too? He's got his hands full. Like when it was in between services, I just like almost got run over by all these little knee highs. That's awesome. The church is full of kids. That's a great sign. And so we're excited for the team that God's given you, your leadership team here, your board and everybody. So can we just say, just take a moment and just say thanks to the Lord and express our thanks to Pastor Ben for just the leadership God's given us here. Pretty exciting for all that God is doing. Well, today we're going to talk about missions, and that's the assignment that I love. We're going to turn, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. I'm already there. It's just a brief little portion of Scripture, one verse, and it's the words of Jesus where he basically gives us his mission statement. Now, he doesn't say it that way. He just says it. This is who I am. He says, for the Son of Man came. And he recognizes, even as he says that, for the Son of Man, that he is from heaven. He knows that. But he also recognizes that he's born of a virgin. He has human origin as well. He's God and he's man. And so he identifies who's speaking. And he says, for the Son of Man came for this one reason, to seek and to save the lost. That's God's heart. And that's what missions is about. Everything that Jesus did throughout his life centered around that thought, around the salvation of the lost. All the miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, all the things that Jesus did, all the things he said in his teaching and his preaching, the calling of the disciples, the equipping of them, being on the cross, and he's literally, as he's giving up his life for our sin, our transgression, he's reaching out to those on either side of them right until his last breath, taking one of them into eternity with him. Come on, this is missions. This is the lost. This is the heart of God. And this is what we want to just spend a few moments talking about this morning. You see, this morning, our mission is the same as Christ. It hasn't changed. Our mission is the salvation of the lost. We exist here as a body, this church, to glorify God and to bring others into fellowship with him. So whether it's locally here in Lonsdale, we're reaching out to people, or globally to the ends of the earth, that is who we are. That's who you are, Triumphant Life. You know, you are part of a movement that cares about people across the street and around the world. And so from the day of Pentecost until the day Jesus returns, that's our assignment, to reach the lost, to care for them, to proclaim the love of Jesus to the world. It's our calling. It's our purpose, our destiny. It's who we are, Triumphant Life. This is what God has called us to be. So why missions? Well, it's God's heartbeat. It's Christ's passion. He came. Why missions? Let's just dig into this morning. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 is a verse that you're maybe familiar with, where Jesus is standing on the Mount of Olives, and he's getting ready to ascend into God the Father's presence. He's already been there. He was crucified, resurrected up to heaven and back. But in this 40-day span, now it's his last moments on earth, and he's ready to go. He's going to be caught up into the clouds. And he speaks these words in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where he says, "The Father has a gift for you." It's a promise of the Father. It's the Holy Spirit. And you know what the purpose of that was. He tells us, he says, it is to empower the church. He will give you power to become witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And in our language, it would be Lonsdale, our county here in Minnesota, and to the ends of the earth. That is what we were empowered. That's why God sent his Holy Spirit. And Jesus shares this as the very last words before he goes, "You're to be a witness. Church, you're to be a witness." It was on Jesus' heart the entire time he was here. And the New Testament church, the disciples, they got it. They captured that mission, didn't they? We read in the book of Acts about Paul, and he went on 3 missionary journeys. He went as far as Spain, and he ended in Rome, where his life was taken from him. All of the rest of the disciples, if we had time, and you can Google it this afternoon, just take a moment and Google disciples martyrdom, something like that, and it'll pop up. But Peter, he went to Rome, and he started the first church, and the center of the universe at that point was Rome. That's where Peter went. And so he started the church. They crucified him. Now, he said, "I don't want to be crucified like Jesus. I'm not worthy. Turn me upside down." They did. This is how committed they were to the assignment of the Lord. You'll be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Jotted down a couple of the other disciples here and where they were sent. James, he preached and was martyred in Egypt. Jude, Syria, Iraq, and Iran, he was martyred in Iran. Thomas, he went to India. And in India, he was speared. I've been to India. I'll be back there in November. And I can tell you that today, where Thomas was martyred, there's an Assembly of God church just a few miles away that runs 35,000. When the disciples were killed, they didn't kill the church. They gave life. Their blood just became the lifeblood of the church as Jesus laid down his life, and then he called his disciples to do the same. They got it. They understood what the assignment was, and they did it. They changed the world that existed in their day. Pretty amazing. In the book of Acts, what does it say about the disciples? When they came into a city, the people of the city would say, "Those who've turned the world upside down have come to us." That's a pretty radical statement that you don't get said about you if you're just sitting in Jerusalem. They had gone after it. There's a church historian that wrote in 376 AD. Let me read it to you. His name is St. Jerome. And here's what he said. "From India to Britain, all nations." That was the then known world. India in the east, Britain in the west. "From India to Britain, all nations resound with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ." They did it without email, without internet, without microphones, without telephones. They laid down their lives. They did what God had commanded them to do. How exciting as we look at the New Testament church and what they did. And you are a part of a church called the Assemblies of God. Some of you might not have known that. Welcome aboard if you didn't, but we're a part of a fellowship in the U.S. of about 14,000 churches, and you know what? At our founding, which is just a little over 100 years ago, there were 300 people that gathered. They were Pentecostal. They had been Spirit-empowered, and they came together for the fulfillment of the Great Commission. That's what tied these people together. And they said, "Let's do what Christ asked us to do." And that's what they began to do. Their prayer request, and you can go back in church history and read this, just 104 years ago, their prayer request was, "God, help us to be the greatest work of evangelism the world has ever seen."
That's pretty crazy and audacious for a group of 300 people, I think. Like, really? You really think you're going to be the greatest work of it? You think God's just a, you know? They had faith. They understood what God had called them to be and to do. And so they went out there on a limb and they said, God, help us to do what you've called us to do. God began to do that. And we realized, somebody said, God is just a part of God's church. God has believers in churches all across our world. But we're a part of it. And when we stay connected to our calling, we focus on what God has called us. And what is that? The salvation of the lost. Seek and save the lost. When we keep our focus there and our efforts there, God blesses. God anoints. God empowers with his Spirit, just like he did the New Testament church. And so today, the Assemblies of God, instead of being 300 believers, worldwide is 68.5 million believers. That's big growth in 100 years. Instead of being just a handful of churches, today it's 367,000 churches around the world. Instead of being just 27 missionaries, that first 300 that came together, there were 27 of them that were missionaries. Instead of being just 27, today it is 7,500 missionaries. Amazing what God can do. When we make his mission our mission, and anything can happen. When we get in track with God's word and God's heart and God's passion, anything can take place. So pretty fun to just kind of look at what has happened in Scripture and with us as a movement as well. So why missions? Why missions? Why do we keep going back to this? The job's not done. The job is not done. Today, the Joshua Project, which tracks these numbers, say that there are 6,900 unreached people groups in the world. 2,200 of them are in India. 400 of them are in the Arab world, where Pastor Ben's going to be going here in just a few months. There are these 6,900 groups. 40% of the world's population has yet to hear for the very first time the gospel. That is why missions is the heart of God yet today. He cares about those, the 40% that have not heard. I love to think, as I think about that percentage, I love to tell the story about my dad. And my dad has been passed for 18 years, but just had Father's Day, and we think about him. And he was a godly man, great father, pleasant, gracious, patient, just a lot of things that you'd want out of a dad. And I think as we think about 40%, I think about if I were to come home from school and my dad was waiting for me and he said, son, how'd school go today? I'd say, great. What awesome. And he'd say, oh, about that math test. How'd that math test go? Oh, wonderful, Dad. It's sweet. Got a great test today. You want to see my test score? And, yeah, why don't you give that to me? You know, he'd take and he'd look, and 40% wrong. 40% wrong. Who are you? Who took my son's body? Why are you smiling, son? Why are we celebrating? You had a good day when you have 40% failure. We have a gracious father. Oh, he's long-suffering. He's merciful. He's loving. We have so much to celebrate what God is doing in Lonsdale. Oh, God's doing wonderful things. You're burning mortgages. People are offering you real estate to build a new church on. Wonderful things. People are coming to Christ right here at your church and through your ministries. But 40% wait for the first time to hear the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Missions drives us. Love for the lost, the Lord's heart, the Father's heart drives us. Heavenly Father has done everything he can do. He sent his son, didn't he? And then he sent, after his son returned to heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit and empowered the church. And now he sends us. and he says it's on us. And this is not an impossible task. This is doable. We can get this done. I don't know how many years it takes, but I know we don't live in a natural realm. We live in a supernatural realm. With God empowers, God has a timetable. God does know how long. Here's what the scripture says in Matthew 24, in verse 14. It says this, it tells us this gospel will be preached in all, as a testimony to all nations. It's going to happen. The choice is, do we want to be a part of it? We want to be a part of what God's going to do in this last day, because what he says, it'll be preached to all nations and then the end will come. So, triumphant life, assemblies of God, let's do this. Let's be a part of God's heart and what God desires to do. And then we don't live and we don't walk in the natural. You have something over at a home and you have a concert on the 3rd of July and people come ready to party and they hear about Jesus. What a great idea. Come on. This is what we can do. God can begin to birth thoughts and dreams and vision through us. It's not an impossible task. When we give, when we go, when we send, when we pray, when we hear from God and we act, the nations will come to Christ. The job will be done. God did not say something that will not happen. So are we going to be part of it? Yes. How? What can we do? How about prayer? We already had a little prayer time this morning, didn't we? It's fun to pray with you about the things that are on the screen. Pastor Ben had one of the scriptures I want to reference from Matthew 9:38. Just said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers. As you look at scripture, we get a lot of instruction to pray. We have the Lord's Prayer where Jesus teaches us how to pray. But there's one time where he commands us on something to pray about. And that is that passage. Triumphant life. That's us as individuals. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers. He would send. So prayer is where we begin. God, would you call our children back in children's church? Would you fall upon Pastor Andrew and upon those little kids? Put something, birth something in their heart. At kids camp this week, the fourth kids camp that's coming, God, would you do something miraculous around those altars? So word of God comes forth. The Spirit speaks to children. Something gets in their heart. God, as we move into family camps and youth camps, would you do it again and again and again? Would you call our youth? Would you call young adults who are just at that point in life where they're mobile, they're ready, to hear from God and go? Would you call our retirees who have that same opportunity? Would you call professionals? Would you call families? God, just call out of our church. I loved praying with you this morning, agreeing. God, call 10 out of our church here. Hey, first services, quite a bit bigger than this, and this service, you've got a great group of people here. God can call 10 out of here over the period of a decade or whatever it takes. As you were faithful, God will be faithful. He'll do his part if we do what we're commanded to do in Scripture. There's no church in Minnesota that's too small to believe God for one. And your faith is beyond that. And so let's pray together every day. Make it a part of your discipline of prayer in your life. And as a church, we can pray together. Okay, so that's how we do it. We pray. How else do we do it? We go and we send. Has to do with taking the gospel, sending the gospel. We go and we send. You know what? When we go somewhere, we see things differently. When we go, God expands our vision. When we go, God begins to birth things in our heart that were not there before because of what we're the act of faith, the step we've taken to move in obedience to what God's called us to do. So can we be a part of going and sending as a church? Just a act of obedience. You know, when we were in Ethiopia, the last thing I did, and I failed to mention this on the front end, but for 38 years I had, and my wife is here this morning. Hi, honey. And we had the opportunity of working with teenagers. I'm the oldest youth guy you'll ever see. And we had so much fun just praying and believing God to stir students' hearts. Amazing calling. And God gave us a new assignment here just a little over a year ago. And Pastor St. John was our predecessor and a dear friend, had led our churches across the state as superintendent. And so he stepped into a new assignment called retirement. And he is not retired, I can tell you that. He is busy and he is active. But and I forgot where I'm going with that and why I was telling you that. There was certainly some reason, I'm sure. But anyway, we'll just count that as part of the introduction, okay? We're talking about going and sending, and there was something tied to that. Okay, well, isn't she just a sweetie back there? Okay. It's great to have her here. We thought the second service was starting at 11. I'm so sorry. So I told my wife wrong information. She would have been here at the start of this session. Okay. Well, here we go. I know where I was. I was in Ethiopia. The last thing I did as a district youth director, and the first thing as a superintendent, it overlapped. It was from the last assignment we had and the first. So we had a privilege of taking a group of pastors to Ethiopia. And, oh, man, here we are in this church of 3,000. And they call us off the back row where it's being interpreted so we can understand what's going on. And they call us to the front, and they have us kneel down, and they pray for us. And then they say, just would you tell the churches of Minnesota, thank you. Thank you for sending missionaries. Thank you. You know, if we hadn't been there, that group of pastors, we would have never heard that. We would have never seen that. But God expands our vision as we go. When we go, we see things differently. And I'm going to play just a quick video here of a trip of pastors. And your pastor's going on a trip like this, only he's going to Amman, Jordan. This is just a trip to Cairo. Just listen to what God does in pastors' hearts as they're there. This group of youth pastors. That's what God does in hearts when we go. He begins to stretch us, begins to plant seeds when we send. Your pastor's going to be on a trip to Amman, Jordan. I can't wait to see where those seeds and what they grow into right here in Lonsdale and beyond. God is going to continue to do some awesome things as we are obedient to his word. As we live with a passion for the lost, just loving and caring about what Jesus loves and cares about. So we do what he has called us to do. That is our response as a church. So we can pray, we can go and we can send, and we can give. We can give, church. You know, my prayer for Minnesota is that we would lead the nation in generosity. And it's happening. Can I just say this? About the work of God in finances. Finances are an essential part of missions. God works through finances. He uses finances. And as we look at what God is doing in Minnesota already, our children last year gave $160,000+. That's kids. That's amazing. Really an incredible stretch for them, and they continue to grow each year. Our students, our teenagers last year at camp gave $90,000 just in camp. At youth convention, on one night, one afternoon, they gave $33,000. And over the course of last year, gave $1.44 million. Students, the ones that don't have money, that are always asking you for money. $1.44 million. Can I tell you that's not happening anywhere else to that degree? It is in Minnesota. God's doing something, stretching our mission's heart. Churches across Minnesota, just the increase in giving to missions, and just this one AGWM, just a component of missions, our growth in that was $1.1 million. No, we tithe and we give to buildings and land and all kinds of different things. But on our missions giving, just the missions giving of these 249 churches, just the growth part was $1.1 million. God's stirring. God is doing something incredible. And my prayer, God, just would you multiply what's happening and let generosity just continue to grow and to expand. This is the kind of effort it's going to take to reach 40%, to reach further, for the gospel to go to the ends of the world. There is no limit to generosity. There doesn't have to be a ceiling on our giving. Like, this is all I could give. This is all God can funnel through me. No. As we are obedient to what God asks us to do, there's more. There's more. He can do more. If we'll just say yes, if we'll respond in obedience, not to anything but His voice and passion to be obedient to Him, God will be faithful to us, and we can see some incredible things take place. Pastor Ben has the opportunity. He's going to Amman, Jordan. I'm going back to India with a group of our pastors. We have 30 of us going from across the state, different directions. He gets to work with this incredible ministry called Live Dead Arab World. They have identified 400 unreached people groups in North Africa and the Middle East. And that's their target. That's what they're about. That's what they live for. That's what they pray for. That's what they invest themselves in. They've chosen 33 gateway cities within those nations to send teams. And they're training up teams of 10 missionaries to go into those 33 cities. And it's happening right now while we sit here. They're in process. The team in Amman is one of those teams. And they're also a training team. And they are one of the teams that they're training is to go to Damascus, Syria. If you sign up to go to Damascus, Syria, you better have heard from the Lord. That's not a place you want to go to. You've seen it in the news. I've seen it in the news. But there are those that are saying, God's called me there. They need to be sent. There has to be generosity that stands behind that. And Pastor Ben's going to be there. He's going to meet some of those. And this church is going to be a part of what God is doing to reach the Arab world, the 400 unreached people groups that are waiting to hear the gospel for the very first time that live in that area of the Middle East in North Africa. Pretty exciting. We're going to have 30 pastors that come back, and we're just going to share the vision and what we've seen and what God's spoken to us. And giving just continues to increase as we allow the Lord to lead us, to speak us, to stretch us. So that's on the giving side, just pretty exciting. I believe we can go places, even though we are seeing incredible miracles take place. We need to stretch and grow into what God wants to do. And here's what I pray about Minnesota being ground zero. God, would you start it here? Have you ever heard the expression, all boats float when the tide rises? We don't live by the sea, so maybe you haven't heard it. I don't know. But anyway, all boats, when the tide rises, it's not just the big boat that you're trying to get to. No, it's all the little boats. And could God use Minnesota to just be one of those, you know, to allow the tide to rise as we pray the tide would rise here, passion for the lost, that it would rise across our nation. And we would see things take place in giving and generosity that we've never experienced. Got to be done. What a great morning. I believe God has great days ahead for Triumphant Life. I'm excited with you that God's blessed you with great leadership. This city needs to hear the gospel, but it needs to go beyond the borders of Lonsdale. So let's think big. Let's try to dream God-sized dreams and just see what God could do. And the pastor's coming in just a moment to receive an offering. I want to pray with you, for you. And then there's going to be a video that is just 3 minutes or so. But it's very impactful. And I'll let it speak for itself in just a moment before he comes. I just pray with you for you. Father, thank you for this body, this great church in this great city. God, thank you that you have raised them up and given them influence in this city Father, their influence is expanding and growing, and the gospel, the good news is going forth. Even as they partner with other churches here for the 4th of July and all of the different dreams that you give birth to. So God, we pray that you would just do great things through us in this city, through this church in this city. Father, that dream would not be limited to Lonsdale, but that dream would go so much further to the ends of the world. Send our children, send our kids, send our young adults, send our retirees, send us, Jesus. Let your will be accomplished. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Watch this video and then Pastor Ben will close this.
We'll ask our ushers to come. Give you an opportunity to give to the things that are important to God's heart. It's one of the promises God gave me a long time ago when I got into ministry. If I'd make a priority out of the things that are His priorities, He will take care of the things that are important to me. John, would you pray for this offering, please? Amen. Man, excited what God is doing here, what He's going to do through this church around the world. If you got a chance to go on a mission trip, I challenge you to go. And if you want to sow into my trip coming up in November, the actual trip part is paid for, but still looking for some extra resources for being on the trip. When I come back, we've been challenged to raise $10,000 for Live Dead. And here, my friend Roy, he pastors down at Dodge Center. He's like, you know, here's what I'm believing God with you for. Just like this businessman gave you this property, if you'll prioritize that missions, I believe God will give you the rest of what you need to build that building. He goes, you'll pay very little out of your pocket. Now, I just believe, what can God do? If we prioritize what's on His heart, He'll take care of the things that we need. Amen? Amen. Let's pray one more time, and then we'll dismiss. Father, we want to just to burn in our hearts what's important to you, Father. Souls. To seek and save the lost, God. To go, Father, to our neighbor who lives nearby, God, and go to the ends of the world, Father, to fulfill your call and your command to us. Lord, just take the offering today and just win souls with it, God. Pray for a mighty harvest. And as we continue, God, as a church and as individual families, to prioritize what's a priority to you, Lord, will you take care of the things that we need? As we redistribute our resources, God, to the things that are close to your heart, God, we know that you are the great provider. And we can't outgive you. And Lord, we just thank you for the generosity this morning. Thank you for the word from Pastor Mark, God, and for the great, great challenge, God, to live dead. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you. God bless you. Don't forget, next Sunday, grab your little card, Freedom Celebration. If you want to come early and help us set up, want to help cook, we're looking for just a few more volunteers. God bless you. Love you. Have a great week.